speaker stand, you'd have one. Well, it started about 15 tons. Yeah. I think Neo Office could best be described as a coup de grace rather than just the main problem. This laptop, please explain. Thank you. Good morning. Some of you like beaches. Some of you like resting in the comfort of your accommodation. You can see the eagle in the right-hand shelter if you look closely. Find out. That's called Windjana Gorge. That's also down at the beach. You can split that off and find more dino footprints if you don't get caught. That's called White Walls. Doesn't work. Fishing, very difficult to beat. Take a boat out and throw something shiny off the side, it'll get eaten. Accommodation is pretty good. Shade, water, more water, no mosquitoes. It's not Cairns. No, there are several. It's a very popular sport up there. And you can take it portable. You see the reversing lights are on? Yes, they do back it all the way down the jetty. Yes. However, keep watching. That's called a Molochus horridus, very friendly to the garden. The hills are being rained on, and it's dry dusting up here. Keep watching. That actually goes down to about 15 metres. That's one of the reasons that you take care of the swimming. Perfect weather all the time, except for when it's been cycloney. That was yesterday. And you can see someone swimming out there, someone having a walk. This was not yesterday. You can turn over to Andrew when you're ready.
Hello? Is this on?
Yes, it's on.
Huh? Hello? If the car rego number KEV...
Also, Jeremy has asked if Andrew Pam could see him at the registration desk. Linuxconf AU, and this morning we'll have another great speaker doing keynote. First off, I'd just like to say if you have any feedback or information to give to the organisers about this conference, send it to feedback@linux.conf.au. Hopefully you can all remember that reasonably easily. And I guess I'll just get the laptop presentation. 10 rows. So, okay, first on the list today, Christopher Widdowson. Okay, get down here. And Christopher is listed as a student here, so hopefully this will be much appreciated. You can do some cool Linux hacking. Yes. Brilliant. Yeah. IBM X40. And just one last thing. So, yeah, feedback to feedback@linux.conf.au. And the Penguin Dinner is on tonight at 7 p.m. in the downstairs in the refectory building, which is the building just outside the centre to the right side. Oh, sorry, to my right at the moment. And if Bob Edwards could make his way down.
Steve said that I can hand out a USB memory stick.
Okay.
Have you got a memory stick?
I've got a memory stick.
Oh. Okay. Who can tell me something else about it?
It's brilliant. S100.
The SIM sockets are popular.
It's
part one of the design of this came out in December 1986. And I just could not wait for the January edition 1987 to come out with the rest of the details. I was one of the first people to put my hand up to get a kit. So Andrew's a true engineer. He not only designed this, but he also wrote the operating. He wrote the operating system for that as well. He wrote the multi-windowing graphical user interface eventually. Came out a year or two later. And an entire community of 1616 OS users got together and met at the shop in Beverly Hills in Sydney once a month to talk all things Applic 1616 related and show their games off in Palo Alto in the United States. And he's come out today to this week to be with us and to give us a keynote address, which I've got no more. Over to you, Andrew. Thank you.
Stuff. Thanks, Bob. Now, can anybody hear me? No. Can you hear me up the back? I tend to mumble. You have to throw shoes at me or something if I get too quiet. A little quiet? I'll clip it to my lip or something. Okay. Of the month. Starting in about 1987, the amazing thing is they're still going. It's a bunch of guys get together at various houses, and I asked them to delay the meeting by 1 week this time around so I could drop in and see everybody in Sydney last weekend. And it was very pleasant, because these people normally running 75 terahertz PCs nowadays, although I did see an Applix machine. I'll be talking about kernel stuff today, no particular consistent theme throughout it. I'll have a look at the kernel maintainer function, what I do, the principles and practices to which I attempt to adhere. We'll touch on the new development model which we're employing. Some time crying on your shoulders about the some quality issues I believe we have with the 2.6 series and what I hope we can do about those. And I'll also have the obligatory words to say about BitKeeper. Polite words. And finally, I'll say a few things. Probably about an hour's worth of material there, so hopefully that'll leave us with about, hopefully more than 15 minutes for a bit of Q&A, because my job in life is to serve you people, and there's not much point if all the information flows in the me to you direction. So have a think about anything you want to hit me with later on, please. So first up, a Diana operation, that's Nortel Networks, in their R&D labs down in Wollongong. It's a good experience, a very professional corporation, but 2001 I felt I'd stopped learning stuff and I was becoming increasingly de-skilled and increasingly scatterbrained in a management position. They're probably both desirable characteristics in a manager. You want them to decided to get back into development. That pretty quickly devolved into Linux development, and after a few years of doing that, I'm back in management again. And this time I don't actually have any staff to manage. But I am getting nicely de-skilled and scatterbrained, I can assure you. And I'm not sure about the scatterbrainedness, but again, de-skilling is probably a good thing. So if I receive a patch from somebody which contains a significant fix or adds a significant feature, I explicitly don't want to be the person who decides on the patch's desirability or its quality or its correctness. My first line of defence has to be to push that decision-making out to the appropriately skilled maintainer. If the patches believe that other external parties will be interested in, I feel my job is to explicitly draw those parties into the review and test process, and it's only when I've seen that all the affected parties and all the affected stakeholders have had a good look at the feature and they need to convince me they've spent enough time looking at it. Only then will I feel confident to move forward on the patch. We have to make a tie-break decision between various parties on what we should do about a patch, and I consider it a process failure if I was put into that position. I'd rather that all the various experts come to their own agreement on what to do rather than me having to make the call. I spend a lot of time on bugs as well, not just merging patches. Actively go looking for bugs all on their own. I'm spending increasing amounts of time lately with the tracking of bugs in an attempt to improve our fix-up rate and to improve the quality of the 2.6 releases. I'll have more to say about bugs later on. I think I have fairly good visibility of the interests, I know who they are. The interests of the end users, the people who use kernel.org kernels, they're always visible via the various mailing lists and conferences such as this one. But sometimes one does have to do a bit of a self-check and make sure that you're not having a problem with the squeaky wheel syndrome and that we are fairly allocating resources and time amongst the various downstream users. We don't sit there in a meeting and think up what the roadmap for the Linux will be for the next 2 years and then assign resources to the various new features which we want. Because we don't actually have any resources. We don't control any resources. The resources, and resources is tech speak for programmers, the resources